Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be Mike Gregg. This is a special episode entitled Ask Cottage Talk. This episode centers around your questions and topics for us to discuss that you submitted to the Cottage Talk Twitter and Facebook pages. We have much to discuss in this show, but before I do anything, I have to welcome my co-host back to the show. Mr. Gregg, how you doing?
Yeah, hi, Russ. Yeah, doing well. Looking forward to covering the last couple of games and answering some questions from the listeners. Looking forward to doing the show.
I'm looking forward to it as well, and I'm glad that you mentioned that as well, because I definitely want your thoughts on the two matches so far. So we're going to talk about that as well. But before we do anything else, I have to mention this. There's this wonderful initiative going on this weekend, and it's from Lee Adams. And I'm just going to read directly from the Get West London article about what Lee and other Fulham supporters are doing. It's entitled, Fulham Fans to Walk from Craven Cottage to Reading's Medeski Stadium in Aid of Calm. Commencing on Friday, August 11th at 7:15 p.m., the fans aim to complete their overnight 40-mile journey from Fulham's Craven Cottage Stadium to Reading's Medeski in 15 hours. Just going to read a little bit more from this article. In aid of the campaign against living miserably, a group of 10 Fulham Football Club fans will walk from Craven Cottage to their team's first away fixture against Reading Football Club. Calm is a charity dedicated to preventing male suicide, the single biggest killer of men under 45 in the UK. Latest UK figures show men are three times more likely than women to take their own life and less likely to tell anyone about going through depression. Calm provides a free, anonymous, and confidential helpline and web chat service for men who are down or in crisis, open every day from 5 p.m. to midnight. Okay, I'm just going to go a little bit further down here. Just mention this as well. The group is headed by Fulham season ticket holder and longtime Calm supporter Lee Adams, have already surpassed their original fundraiser target of £3,000, including a donation from television presenter and fellow Fulham fan Richard Osman. Here is a quote from Lee. Adams said, quote, I've been fighting for Calm for about 2 years now. I want to live in a world where men can feel they can reach out and seek help. I'm truly thankful and proud of everyone of the lads walking with me overnight from Fulham to Reading who want to stand up and make a difference. Okay. And if you still want to give to this this walk, go to www.justgiving.com/fundraising/Fulham2ReadingWalk. Okay. All right. I do want to mention that we had hoped to get Lee on the show, but unfortunately, we had to work late and could not join us. But I definitely wanted to mention this. And Lee messaged me just to thank all the Fulham supporters for their support. And I also want to mention, Mike, that I just checked the numbers. And right now, the donations are up to £5,500. So it's a wonderful cause that we and the other Fulham supporters are doing with this walk. So definitely just want to get your thoughts on Lee Adams and these Fulham supporters doing their walk.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's terrific what Lee has done over the last year. I mean, he also rode a bike to a couple of
he
games
did.
Last year, I believe. I think one was Wigan. we followed some of that on his Twitter
That's right.
page. But, I mean, the main thing he's done is raise awareness of
exactly
this particular issue, and this particular charity, Calm, you know, and I would recommend people go to the Calm website, which is the calmzone.net, and, you know, you can read about the charity there. There's a couple of articles on Lee as well. And, yeah, you know, there's 10 of the guys doing it, leaving tomorrow and walking, I don't know, 40 miles to Reading. Bad enough driving there, especially considering how many times we've been there over the last year. But no, it's great work by Lee to get it all organised, and slowly he's been, you know, tweeting the message, getting it out there, and he's had more volunteers join. If I wasn't involved doing something else this weekend, then I may well have taken part as well, because it is a subject that's close to my heart, and Lee's story is, if you read it, is a little bit similar to what I went through maybe 20 years ago. So, you know, I'm full of praise for Lee for what he's doing. And, it's a subject over here. I'm not sure what it's like in America, Russ, but, you know, it's all about being a bloke and you're not allowed to talk about things and, you know, man up. You get celebrities saying that. And, you know, sometimes you just need someone to talk to. And that's what organizations like this are for. And, you know, if you can't talk to your family, can't talk to your loved ones, then reach out to friends, people on Twitter. You know, there are, you know, despite what's happening in the world, there are plenty of good people out there who are willing to take time and help others.
Absolutely, Mike. And I think you nailed that in the beginning. This is about creating awareness. And that's what Lee has done. And he's inspired me. I'm glad that we could talk about this. Like I mentioned, I'd hope to get Lee on, but unfortunately our schedules couldn't work together. But what Lee is doing is tremendous, creating awareness to something extremely serious. And he's one of the good guys. I've had a chance to know him a little bit on Twitter, and actually he was on Cottage Talk a while back, and Lee's one of the good guys. What he's doing is truly special, and I wish Lee and all the people walking the best of luck, and what you're doing is very important. All right. Okay, Mike, let's move on. Before we answer the questions from the phone supporters, let's get your view. I want to get your early take on the first two matches. I really haven't spoken too much to you. So let's start with the Norwich City match. Obviously, I follow you on Twitter, so I get an idea of how you felt about it. But let's talk a little bit about it.
I mean, it was a good game of football. Result-wise, it was probably a fair result. Obviously disappointing to let a goal in right at the end. But I thought we took a while to get into the game. I thought the front three played well in the first half. I thought Norwood settled in well. Johansson maybe a little bit off colour the first half. Kearney looked like he had an injury at the end, but it's safe to say it wasn't his most influential game. If you know, it sort of passed him by. You know, and Norwich caused us some problems in the first half, and I know there was a lot of talk about, you know, Session on getting ripped apart down that side, which I think is a little bit unfair on him. But overall, throughout the game, it was a fair result. It was good to see Kamara come on and have a little cameo, and I thought he did quite well in his 20 minutes. Had a nice shot from 30 yards, a couple of side nettings, a fall over. You know, it was pretty much all there. But it was then good to see him sort of in the next game as well. But, you know, from that game, I'm already sensing that, you know, he's a striker. He's not one of these wingers. He's not an Aiti Cabano or even a Luko type player. He's his runs and how direct he is, for me, makes him out to be an out-and-out striker, which is what we've needed. Whether he's going to be the main man, that's yet to be decided. But I think he certainly looks like he's got the attributes for it. But overall, disappointing. We usually beat Norwich. But there were some plus points from it. I think we can see that midfield is stronger with the acquisitions of Norwood and Cisse. And, you know, and the fact that we had 10 players carried over from last season meant that, you know, there was no bedding in required. It was almost watching a game from last season, really. The same style. There was no real changes that I saw. And I suppose the main pleasing thing was Button. You know, he ended up getting man of the match via the website. And personally, I wouldn't have given him man of the match, but he did everything that he needed to do and made a couple of good saves. And I think Norwich will be there or thereabouts at the end, maybe, you know, top eight. And, you know, because they've got some dangerous players. And it was good to see James Husband back, although, you know, Frederick's dealt with him fairly well. But yeah, overall 1-1, very disappointing at the end, but on reflection, a fair result.
I agree with you, Mike. I thought it was very fair. And listen, I want to go right back to you. I want to talk about some of the players in central midfield. First of all, let's start with talking about Kevin McDonald. I talked about this on the prior show. I thought he was a big miss. Would you agree with that?
Well, it's interesting. There were a few polls before the season began, and one of them in particular was, Who's more important, Kearney or McDonald, and to our style? And I actually, you know, I went for McDonald, you know, it all starts from him. Kenny is a great player, does what he does in advanced positions. But really, the ball out from the keeper, the ball, you know, it's all built really for McDonald. You know, it's rolled out to him more times than not. He's the one who looks to the centre-back, then the centre-back gives it back to him. He's looking to probe. And he almost becomes a third centre-back at times. So he is a miss. And I know some people have been sort of, oh, what is Norwood? Is he a Kearney replacement? Is he a Johansson replacement? Is he a McDonald replacement? In the end, he played in McDonald's position. I reckon he was picked ahead of Cissé, who's probably more naturally the defensive one, because he knows the division. You know, he's more experienced. And I was quite impressed by his passing. It seemed to fit in with our style. No, he isn't that hard-tackling midfielder and that we usually have. And he's probably more advanced than McDonald plays, you know, more in front of the two centre-backs than rather level with him like McDonald does a lot. But no, I was quite happy with Norwood. I think he's a tidy player. He's probably more Johansson maybe than out of all three of them, out of the three musketeers as I call them. But he's gonna get his fair share of games. And the most important thing, we spoke about it show before, I think, Russ. You know, those three guys in the middle played virtually every minute after Christmas, bar the last game or so. And now we have the option, not only with Norwood, but I also think with Cissé, of, you know, not panicking if someone's injured. So McDonald wasn't ready. That's fine. Norwood comes in, a very, you know, very good replacement. And, you know, we can rest them for certain games and make sure everyone's sharp, you know, for the whole season and don't run out of steam like we did last year.
It's a good point there, Mike, and what's interesting is that I think one of the attributes of Kevin McDonald that gets overlooked is his ability to organize the team, especially that defense. And I'm not saying it was missed, because Emilio mentioned this as well. He said that Norwood did some of that and was actually kind of impressive, shouting and get everyone in place. Did you notice that as well?
Yeah, especially, it was odd. I was disappointed he was taken off, actually, but for the 15 minutes or so he was on in the second half, he was playing virtually level with where I sit. And, as I say, he was probably more forward, you know, in front of the two centre-backs than McDonald usually is. But he is an experienced player, and so I'm not surprised that he's there. And it's a key position for us. So, you know, he's got everyone in front of him, really. And so he should be the one who's, barking instructions. And a couple of the guys, like Cabana and Aluko, sometimes they need an IET. They need a kick and a shout to, you know, get back and help the fullbacks. You know, it's all well and good them charging around up front, but they also have their defensive duties as well.
Okay, very good there, Mike. I do want to ask you about one other player in central midfield, and that's actually Stefan Johansson. Emilio was critical of him. He said he actually looked a little overweight. I want to get your thoughts on that. Again, I'm watching from afar, watching on my TV screen. What are your thoughts about the fitness of Stefan Johansson?
No, I didn't have any issue with his fitness. It was in the first half, you know, some of his passes were under hit. And I thought he was one of the better players in the friendly the week before. And he's still got all that running. So I'm not sure where Emilio's coming with the fitness. But he was certainly off colour with regards, you know, he sold session on short a couple of times in the first half, but he improved as the game got on, and played that sublime pass to Kamara in the second half. It wasn't to his high standards, and that's, you know, when people talk about improving the team, and you look at that midfield, McDonald, Kearney, and Johansson, you know, to improve those three at this level, you're going to have to go to the Premier League, aren't you? And you know, we have the three best midfielders. So they set such a high bar last year. You know, a little dip and they look as if, he's not up to speed. But it was disappointing at the beginning, but he improved as the game went on.
Very good. Okay, Mike, that was your take from the Norwich City match. Let's now move forward and let's get your take on the Wickham match. Again, this is a cup match. I want your thoughts on this. Fulham do progress, make wholesale changes, Slavisa did. So I just want to get your overall view on what you watched.
I really enjoyed it. It was a good evening, and I was pleased to see the lineup. It was a lineup which I got 10 out of the 11 correct when I predicted it earlier in the day, and it was just Kavanagh missing. But you know, it was a surprise as well. It was, you know, Sessegnon's brother starting, but it was a good game. They had they didn't really have chances, but while the game was 0-0, you're always thinking it, you know, one goal's going to change all of this. But I'd say at the end, you know, 2-0 win, a very professional job by a lineup which played 4-4-2, so we haven't played that for a while, who hadn't played together, and a mixture of lads from 16 up to, you know, 28, 29, so and all those debutants as well. So it was a good atmosphere. The away fans, we enjoyed ourselves, and a really cracking goal by Piazon as well. And it was Adoy got a nice near post header corner from a corner, you know, corner as well. Russ, we scored from that. That's amazing, man. But it was a good game. And in the end, it was, you know, it was fairly easy. But the plus points, similar. It wasn't as late an Orient game last year. You know, we had some, you know, there were a few moments there where we thought we might blow it. But during this game, as it progressed, we seemed to get stronger and stronger. And well done to all the youngsters and the first team as we played.
Okay, excellent there, my friend. I do have a question about that match in just a second. But before we get to ask Cottage Talk, let's just talk a little bit more about this. I want to ask you about a certain player, very young player, just like last year with Ryan. Now we have Matt O'Reilly. I want to know what you thought about his performance in this match.
Yeah, it was a bit of a mixed bag, really, in some ways. He's quite a tall 16-year-old. I think as he progresses, he's going to bulk up a bit and be a strong lad. You know, he usually plays central midfield. For this game, he was asked to play out on the wing. He did come in occasionally, especially to receive the ball from Rodak. And you saw his better passing ability when he was in those positions. So you never ever saw him take a player on, really. It was very much get the ball to him. He's looking to give it to Adoy or to Eden inside, or find Kamara or Woodrow. And in some of his passes, just like some of the rest of the team as well, were a bit off in the first half. But again, as the game progressed, he settled down. He's a big step up. These guys are 16 and, you know, haven't even played really under 23 football. And, you know, to see him in against a professional outfit like Wickham, who I know, yes, they made changes, but he did really well. And you know, a very promising debut. And it'd be nice to see him, depending on who we play in the second round, it'd be nice to see him play again and maybe in his more favoured position.
Okay, excellent, Micah. I do want to ask you about one other player, Ryan's brother, Stephen. How did he fare in this match as well?
He did really well, actually. In the first half, they were sort of attacking his side. And you know, their winger, he was giving him not really a hard time, but he was quite a physical lad. But you know, Stephen stood up to him, and there's not much of him. He's a pretty short guy, and but he was very calm. Did everything that was required. Very similar in the fact that, you know, he's going to get muscled off the ball, but his pace allows him to just nip in front of the player and take the ball away without actually making a full-blooded tackle. So again, you know, obviously being a twin, he's the same age, but he does look a bit, you know, a bit slighter, a bit younger. But you know, he's had some injuries in the past, but he looked fine the other day, and he's not going to be challenging, I don't think, like you know, Ryan is. He's not going to be challenging for a first team place this season, but it's all good experience for him. And acquitted himself very well.
Okay, excellent there, Mike. All right. Now, let's start with Ask Cottage Talk. Like I mentioned, the first question actually is about the Wickham match. It comes from David Williams on the Cottage Talk Facebook page. Here it is. After Tuesday's performance, the big question is which players can best compete for a starting place? Diallo, Eden, Adoy, Cisse, Rodak? all those have a shout-out in my view, and I probably prefer Odoi to Sessegnon right now, whereas I was least impressed by Woodrow and AK. Looks keen, but needs time to click. Okay, I gave a mouthful there, Mike. What are your thoughts about what David Williams shared?
Well, I think what you're doing at these games is you are looking at those players who, you know, who have got a chance to make an appearance, and are they going to challenge for a first-team place? I mean, I don't believe, you know, Rodek's going to be near a first-team place. I don't believe O'Reilly. Eden got in the 18 last week. I think my takeaway from it is certainly from the youngsters' point of view who played is I wouldn't be upset if they were in the team on their own, if they were, you know, if they were just named and they were the only one out of that sort of young group. I think once you start filling the team with two or three youngsters, then you start having issues, especially at championship level. But really, you're looking at people like, you know, did Maddle do enough? Well, Maddle captained, and he was the Maddle we know, and he did very well. The J.O., I think, surprised everyone, especially with his passing range. And he, you know, he defended quite well. He didn't look the disaster everyone thought he would be, but we have to take into account the opposition. But he did as much as he could do, I think, you know, and I mean, there's less of a panic about him now than there was, because you can read things, you can watch a game off a stream and without a commentary from Austria or somewhere and think, God, he's rubbish. But when it came to a competitive game, he did very well. Odoi, solid at left back. I'm still, you know, Sessegnon for me is still going to start.
Okay.
We're lucky enough that he signed. And, you know, part of that agreement is going to be he's the number one left back. I expect him to either share that role with Odoi as the season goes on, or more likely we're going to bring in a left back to share that role. But Odoi did very well and shows he gives us that backup on the right and the left. And I thought Cisse did really well. Again, you know, he can play that deep role, win the tackles, but he also likes to run with the ball. So that's a little bit different to McDonald. So he wants to be, you know, taking the ball forward. Reminds me a little bit of Diop in some ways. Woodrow, unfortunately, yes, he made the pass for the goal, but missed three good chances. And unfortunately, his touch is just not improving. And I was having a discussion with someone yesterday, and we played Wickham 2 years ago, and he played up front. Same tournament, virtually the same week. He had McCormick next to him, and there's no difference. There really wasn't any difference. He hasn't stepped up. He hasn't improved. His touch is still not good enough, unfortunately. And I will be surprised if he is here at the end of the transfer window, I have to be honest. I think we will bring in one or two more strikers, and I think it'll be time for Woodrow to move on. I just don't think he's going to make it with us, unfortunately. Who's that leave me with, Russ? Kamara?
Well, yes. Actually, just wait just 1 second on Kamara, because I have another question dealing with him. So let's talk about him in just 1 second. I want to go back to you about Diallo. The reason being is that I was listening to the match, and then I watched back, and I can't tell you how many times Gentleman Jim was praising Diallo. It must have been at least a dozen times, Mike. You know, and I watched it back, and I thought he played fairly well. That was encouraging, and Jamie had some very nice things to say about Diallo as well.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, what we were expecting, the bar was very low, wasn't it? So he exceeded that, and you know, it'd be interesting to see him against tougher opposition. But you can only perform against who you're playing against, and he did that. And he, for me, he was probably our man in the match. You know, he didn't do much wrong. You know, Rodek pushed him a very, very close second, but on reflection, I think I would have given it to Jaya.
Okay, excellent there, Mike. All right.
I don't see him as the third choice centre-back. You know, Maddo is still next in line if something happens to Callison Ream, and I would still expect us to get another centre-back. So he might find himself in 23s for a little while.
Okay, very good. I'm glad that you clarified your thought on that. Mike, All right, now let's go back to talk about Kamara. There's a reason why I wanted to hold off is because Will Johns had a question for us. From what Mike has seen of Kamara, do we need another striker and what type?
Okay, so I mentioned Kamara and how he did against Norwich, and against Wickham, it was more of the same. Only had one real chance, and he fashioned that himself. He got away a shot, so no one actually found him. But he did so much off the ball running. He was in a lot of link-ups as well, involved in a couple of crosses, one very cheeky little cross as well, and he's built up. And what I was impressed by was his team play. So he was looking to help other players, you know. But then also he makes the movement of a striker. You know, he's looking to get into space in the box. Yes, they never found him the other day. But for me, as I said earlier, that tells me he's an out-and-out striker. So do we need another one and what type? Yes, I think we need a taller one. Not a Matt Smith. You don't need somebody like that. But you want another option. You want somebody who's probably a stronger header of the ball. You know, people are going to say old-fashioned number nine. Not really, but, you know, somebody who's a bit more of a bit more muscular, somebody to throw it around a bit sometimes in the last 10, 15 minutes. So if we're going to go out and get someone, I'd be looking for that. You know, do we go for a championship striker? Do we go for another unknown? When I say unknown, I mean, is it going to be someone we're all going to have to Google straight away because they're in some Austrian league somewhere? But it does sound as if that's where we're going. So I expect one more to come in, and I think it will be a much more sort of, you know, maybe like Jerome. I don't think it will be, but that kind of striker. A bit bigger.
Okay, very good then. Yeah. Excellent stuff there, Mike. All right, now let's go to Jason Atkins. This is an interesting one. I have a feeling I know what your answer is, but here's the question. Is it possible that there is enough potential in this current side, injuries aside, that we could go all the way?
It depends what you mean by all the way. So if we didn't buy another or sign another person in this window,
right,
then we have enough. Yeah, so we have enough to be in that top six. There's no doubt about that because we've kept virtually the whole team of last year. Yes, we've let Malone go and Chris Martin, but we, you know, we've strengthened in midfield. Kamara is much more, I think Kamara, certainly from what I've seen, is fine replacement for Martin. And so it's only Malone. And I've said from last season, I don't think Malone will have another season like that. That is a one-off pinnacle of your career type season where everything went well for him. And, you know, and it gave me a choice. Malone's session on, then I'm going to go with a youngster all the time. So not consistent enough for top two. We'd have to play like we did for the second half of last season. And, you know, and that was exceptional what we did second half. The team don't get enough credit for that. And,
right.
So, top six. I'm confident of top six, but where in that top six? I'm not sure at the moment. And another couple of games, and I'll come back and let you know.
So for you, Mike, like you said, the team is pretty much intact except for Malone and then Chris Martin. So let me throw it out there. I think we've already talked about this. Say we do add a striker. Say we add a left back and a center back. Can your mind be changed at that point?
Yeah, it can be if the results we get between now and the end of the window are good enough as well. So if we get the right two or three players between now and the end of the window, and you know, after five games, if we've got 10 points, which would be a good return, you know, you're always looking to try and get 2 points a game. If we're somewhere around there, 9, 10, 11 points, then yes, I would say, we're going to be challenging for that top two position. But to be consistent challengers at that level, we do need a little bit more. And
I agree, Mike.
It's about having that group of 18, 19 experience, but players you would consider could start week in, week out. You know, it's like I said about Norwood and Cisse. It's unlikely they're ever going to really, if it push comes to shove, you're going to pick the other three. But one or two of those guys going into the team, that's not a problem. But you need that 18, 19, plus then you have all the youngsters who are so promising and can come in as a sub and that. But yeah, just need that little bit more. We're so close. And this is what every fan is. This is what every fan is saying. This is what Jokanović is saying today, apparently. It's all gone off again, hasn't he? He said something today about...
We're going to talk about that in a little bit. We're going to talk about that.
Right, okay. But yeah, we're just that, you know, they are looking. There's absolutely no doubt they are out there looking. The market, though, are you seeing a transfer every day, though, Russ? You know, you look at the movement. There's not a huge amount going on.
No.
And we've reached that point in the window, or in the transfer window, where we're a couple of games in. So you're a player who may have been looking for a transfer. You may have got in your match day squad for the last, you know, the first league game and the cup game. And you're thinking, oh, well, maybe I have got, maybe I should stay here. Another couple of games, you know, 3 weeks to the window closes. You get dropped, you're on the bench. Right, it's time to move. And suddenly we are going to see a spike in transfers, I think, after this weekend, you know, or certainly after Tuesday's round of fixtures, because we'll be four games in and people know then, don't they? They know, oh, the manager fancies me, or the manager, you know, I don't want him, let's get rid of him. And we're going to see a lot of movement, I reckon, within the domestic market anyway.
Mike, see, that's a great point. That's why I'm glad that you brought this up. It's the waiting game. It's the domino effect too. And listen, I would like to see Fulham bring in some players potentially from the Premier League. I'm talking about players that are on the cusp of being with their team but might have to leave to get playing time. And I think that's also what could be going on here, Mike. Players just not knowing where they're going to be, what their position is with their current team, and the situation is teams are waiting to see how things play out. That's why the window goes to the last minute. The movement, and like you said, there should be a good amount of movement coming up, but it really is the waiting game, Mike, and I think it takes two to tango, and for Fulham to get the right player, sometimes they have to wait for another move to happen for that team.
Well, I mean, the thing is, Russ, it's the sort of where we are. We finished the season, you know, in the playoffs, and, you know, we're on the up, and so we're going to target... I don't like saying you build a team to be in the Premier League. You build a team to get to the Premier League, and then like Huddersfield, you probably rip it apart. But what you do need is that quality of player who can play in that top six position and then probably the bottom six of the Premier League. So we're probably looking at that domestically. We're probably looking at some players on the fringes of, the bottom six of the Premier League. Right. And then we're probably looking at players in the top six or seven of the Championship. And then you have the foreign guys. And there's so much money in wages in the Premier League washing around. Let's take the striker, Rowan. Yeah. So he is, you know, whether you want to buy him not now, it doesn't really matter. But he's a striker who is rated. But could he do it in the Premier League? Are there Premier League teams after him? Or does he go to the Championship? So you've only got to put yourselves in his shoes. You know, there's 3 weeks left. Newcastle could come for me, or, you know, Brighton could come for me, and I'll get more money than if I go to Fulham, or shall I go to Fulham because I'm going to be guaranteed. And, you know, so let's take Norwood as well. It's clear that Brighton and Chris Hughton said to him, you know, you're not going to play in the Premier League. And so he's taken the opportunity to come back to the Championship. But then there's other players at the bottom of the Premier League who are thinking, you know, this is my chance. You know, a player gets injured, I might get in the team. So it's a little bit of a cold war now. Once the season kicks off, it goes a bit quiet, and then we'll have rush, rush, rush. And there we'll be there at 5 to 11 on whatever day it is this month, thinking, who's in the corridor? Is Orlando Saar somewhere in the cupboard?
Oh, boy.
Ready to come out and sign.
I hope it's not Orlando Saar.
as much as we take the mick out of it and, you know, we want all the work done before the end of the season. Yeah, I checked the other day. Somebody said on Friends of Fulham that Newcastle had all their work done before the season kicked off. Well, I went back and checked.
I don't think so.
No, they signed four players. They spent £10 million after the first game. So there's still plenty of time to do things.
Yeah. And that's what makes things difficult, because fans know what the team needs. The team knows what the team needs, but sometimes it's a process. You have to see it play itself out where players become available. And unfortunately, it tends to happen. Certain players, players that you might want at the very end, and that's why we have to sit and wait and see how things play out. And it's frustrating. But I wanted to talk a little bit about that, Mike, because I don't think Fulham are just sitting on the sidelines just, you know, waiting. I think that they're trying, but I think it takes two to make a deal, and sometimes you have to wait for these deals. It's frustrating. All right, Mike. Here's another question. This is on the Cottage Talk Twitter page. It's from Ella Wiley. Here it is. Do you think Button should be on the first team? Very interesting. What are your thoughts about Button?
Well, as I say, I thought he did very well on Saturday. I've lost faith in him, I have to say. He did well enough on Saturday, and it probably he's going to start this weekend, I would have thought, because Bettinelli's still injured. I know the club are looking for another goalkeeper. It's not a priority. Whether that goalkeeper is to be just another backup or be challenging for number one, I'm not sure. Rodek's probably good enough to stay as the third goalkeeper. He did well the other day, but I wouldn't want to see him in for too many games. You know, in the end, you need a bit of experience. And I don't really see much difference between Button and Bettinelli. I've said that all last season. Hopefully Saturday, you know, winning man of the match, players getting confidence, you know, with him, he'll get back to some of the form he had maybe earlier in the season last year. But I don't know, one mistake and we're all going to be back on, you know, crucifying him, I suspect. So I don't know. I think there's still movement there somewhere. The goalkeeping position is still to be fully decided, I reckon.
I agree with you, Mike, and I know he's not going to be ready, but let's just talk in general. How far away is Marek Rodak?
Well, I thought he was a long way away. I must admit, there's another goalkeeper called Magnus Norman who I actually think is a very good goalkeeper, and probably, you know, I have him ahead of Rodak. But actually, he went away on loan last year, Rodak, and he's built himself up a bit more. He was very confident, came out and punched the ball, I think, three or four times. And there's some big lads in that Wickham team, so he was brave. Who knows? I think, you know, those kind of guys, they need to play games. You don't want to see him sitting around, you know, playing the odd under-23 game, really. You know, Jeanrin spent the whole of the last season just basically kicking a ball against a wall, didn't he? And ended up leaving us. And I still think he's going to turn out to be a very, very good goalkeeper. So I'd like to see him go out on loan. I wouldn't be upset if we signed like a 35-year-old, someone who can, come in if he needs to, just to be that third goalkeeper.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, let's move on. We have one final question, and this is on the Cottage Talk Facebook page. It's from Colin Forknall. I'm going to read Colin's question to us, and then I'm also going to read from an article from Get West London, because I think this is where his question's coming from, Mike, okay? This is from Colin Forknall. Yeah. Speculation continuing with Liverpool still looking at Ryan Sessegnon and Reading with Aluko. Do you believe we can keep both until the end of the transfer period? Okay, here's the article from Mark Ritson today on Get West London. It is entitled, Fulham Boss Updates Fans on Sonny Aluko to Reading Link and Ryan Sessegnon's Future. I'm going to read directly from this article. Fulham boss Slavisa Jokanovic can't guarantee star player Ryan Sessegnon will be at the club by the end of the transfer window, but doesn't believe he will be sold. The Cottagers manager was talking today at his pre-match press conference with speculation surrounding the left-back continuing over his future with Liverpool, reportedly long-term admirers. The last thing Jokanovic needs is for any players leaving as he looks to add to what he's got, but it's not as easy as some supporters think for him. The boss has also confirmed Sonny Aluko is attracting big interest from this weekend's opponent, Reading, but he is confident the striker won't be sold. Here are the quotes from Slavisa. Quote, I really don't believe we'll be in this kind of situation, said Jokanovic. We have started the season, and even though I can't guarantee it, I don't believe we are going to make this kind of step. Some clubs might be interested in Ryan Sessegnon, and Reading are interested in Sonny Lucco, but I don't believe we will make this kind of step. This decision is not in my hands, but I'm fighting for these people already in the squad, important people in my squad in the next 20 days. Okay. Mike, I believe that's where Colin's question is coming from, probably from this article, seeing this article and being concerned. So what are your thoughts about Colin's question and also the article I just read to you?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's, you know, a player signs a contract, you hope they're going to, you know, stick to it, and everything the club says, you know, we're not going to sell Session on. And, you know, Yap Stan came out last week, you know, naming players, and, you know, you should just not do that. And
absolutely,
that's
not
where that speculation is. The trouble is, with articles like, this, and the way Jokanović speaks, is it makes, it gives some fans the impression, oh, the club are, oh, the club don't want them. They want to get the money, you know. And it's not. He's saying this. Jokanović almost contradicts himself sometimes.
Do you think that his message gets lost in the translation sometimes with the things he says?
Well, I mean, you know, certainly, I mean, it's not as if he's being translated, but it's his English is not the best. And sometimes it's a little bit back to front or a misunderstanding in a way. You almost have to read it two or three times to understand what he's trying to say. And, you know, he contradicts himself by saying, you know, he's saying it's definitely not going to happen, you know, but I can't guarantee it, you know. So, I mean, there will be, you know, I'm expecting someone to come and bid for Session on before the end of the window. And that could well be Liverpool, that could well be Tottenham. And it's the question is how much? Because even though he signed the contract, even though he's 17 and whatever he says, money talks. I mean, look, we just saw Neymar move. We got Liverpool having issues on keeping a player at the moment with Barcelona bidding for him. So
absolutely, with Coutinho. You know,
yeah, so our lowly old Fulham going to be able to turn down? Who knows? Let's say Spurs come along and say, well, Spurs won't because they're tight-fisted. But let's say Liverpool came along and said, you know, here's 20 million cash for Session on. I mean, 20 million is half our turnover, virtually half our turnover. It would be a very, very difficult offer to turn down. But, you know, there are no guarantees. There absolutely are no guarantees those guys will be. But, you know, Lucco, I think they probably want to give him another contract, and it will take quite a bit of money for him to go, and he seems quite happy. And it's actually their manager that's causing the issue here with his comments. And there'll always be speculation for Session. And Kearney as well. Expect a lower Premier League side like Burnley or someone to come in for him.
Listen, it's going to happen, Mike. And I understand the questions being asked of him, and he's being honest. And that's just the way it comes out. You know, that's why I meant lost in translation, that sometimes maybe what he says, like you said, contradicts what he actually means. You know, I mean, that's when it gets a little crazy for him. I think I got an idea of what he's trying to say, but I also think that maybe people are reading way too much into it, Mike. But like you said, money talks, and if the right money offer comes, that could be something that they have to look at as a business. They have to look at it, and let's just hope that these players stay. I want them to stay. We have a good side, and until that window shuts, we have to be on our guard that something could happen. So I understand why Colin is asking the question.
Yeah, I mean, I asked the question, like, you know, I had lots of discussions last week where I was defending Session on being the main left back. And, you know, you ask the question to people, you know, what would you rather have done? Would you have rather kept Malone and taken 20 million or 15, 20 million? And the answer usually comes back, I would have taken the 15, 20 million if I knew it was going to be invested. And which is a fair answer, you know, but, you know, David Hulley, who's been on the show many a time, and, you know, I said to him, if we'd taken money for selling Session on, he wouldn't have said it, but he would have been the first to say, you know, no ambition. You know, that's what, you know, we're not keeping our youngsters, we're a selling club and all that kind of thing. And for once, the club have cashed in on Malone, which was a very good deal, given Session on a good long contract.
Which, Mike, you actually were encouraging before the transfer window began, you were way ahead of the curve on that, Mike. You were like, this is the best season he's probably going to have. And you said if an offer came, you would take it.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, when you look at it, it was somewhere between 3.5 up to 5 million, I think, if they stay in it. I mean, we basically got that for Jazz Richards. What a result, you know. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you can't, the club can't win, you know. They get moaned at if they sell the youngsters, like Roberts, or we didn't tie Dembele down and all this kind of stuff. And then you have, potentially, you know, the highest rated kid in the country, the most wanted player.
That's right.
And well, he's not a left back. You know, he shouldn't be playing. Yeah, but hang on a minute. You either want him to play, or if you don't want him to play, but you want 20 million for him. You know,
you can't have it both ways, Mike.
Well, exactly. And then you say, well, okay, where do you want him to play? Up front? Well, you know, well, who do you get rid of? Cabano or Aiti or Aluka? You know. These guys are key to how we play up front as well. And, right. You know, Session on he'll start 20, hopefully this year he'll start 25 games, maybe be sub another 10, 15, and it'll be another step in the, you know, his progression. And I hope that's going to be at Fulham. And I hope, you know, any offer we do get, we rebuff. But, you know, if it reaches 20 million, 18, 20, I think the club will find it very hard to turn down. And, you know, and I don't think I could complain, really. The only issue would be is if it was done on the very last day of the window, which wouldn't allow us any time to
right. No, that's a good point.
Else. Yeah.
It's a good point, Mike. And listen, this goes back to Colin's question, and I understand why he's asking it. And if you're asking me today, I think we hold on to all of our key players. But you just said it. If the money is crazy, it's something that you have to consider. And we don't know if those offers are going to come. And that's why until that window shuts, we're going to be looking and worrying. And I know I'm worrying. You know, I saw the article. I saw that. And then part of me was thinking there's nothing to worry. But actually, the more I think about it, I know better. Like you just brought up the situation with Neymar. If Neymar goes, anyone can go. And that's why it doesn't matter what team it is. You have to be concerned until that window closes. That's just the way, that's the way the business is.
I'll just say one more thing on it. So, you know, Sessions signed a contract and I suspect part of that was, well, am I going to play this year? And yeah, you're going to play. So I expect him to start all the league games between now and the end of the window because, you know, let's say he was dropped this weekend and maybe dropped on Tuesday as well. Doubts start creeping in his mind and then Liverpool come along and, suddenly his view might have changed. Well, hang on a minute. They promised I was going to play. Now I'm not playing and
right.
I might as well go to Liverpool, you know. So it's a little bit cat and mouse, I suspect, with Ryan, but you know, I do believe he should be the left back at the moment. He's only going to learn by playing, and let's remember, we didn't let a goal in on Saturday when he played. Even you know, despite everyone having a go about his performance, we were 1-0 up when he went off.
Okay, Mike, very good, very interesting discussion about the transfer window, and I'm glad that we're having it. While we were talking, I actually got another question. We have one final question. It comes from Dan Layton, and it's an interesting one. It goes with what we're talking about, Mike. So I'll answer it, but I want you to answer it first. How confident are you right now that the club will bring in quality transfers to aid a thin squad?
Do you want it on a out of 10 percentage
yes.
wise?
And yes. I'll put it 1 out of 10 too. Go ahead.
Okay. How confident am I that the club will deliver what's required? Maybe 7 or 8 out of 10. 7 or 8 out of 10, maybe. 7.5 then, Rusty. I'll go with that. I think we need three minimum quality players. I suspect we'll get 2.
Okay. I'm going to put it at an 8. I am confident because they know what they need, Mike. They're looking at the team. They know it's a thin squad. They're hearing it from Slavisa. They know what they need. Now they have to get these players. And I think that they will get the players that we need. So I'm going to put it at an 8 out of 10. I think we're going to sweat it to the very end of the transfer window, which isn't going to be fun. But I think that they're going to bring in the players because it's in their best interest to, Mike. They want to get promotion. I'm talking about the Cons. You know, they want promotion, and they know that we have holes. They have to see it. So I think they're going to try to pull out all the stops at, by the end of the window to get these players. That's why I am confident that they're going to do it, because they want to get out of this division.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, they do. I was just going by, you know, the quality, and I think, you know, we might even make four signings, but whether all, you know, all four are the quality needed, I'm not 100% sure on that. But
okay.
Give me another striker and give me a centre back and I'll be happy. And if they're two players who can walk straight into the 18, that's what's required.
Right. See, Mike, I'm right there with you. The left-back situation, I think they can get by with Dennis Odoi. If that's the one that they don't get, so be it. They need a striker. They need a center back. They bring in those two positions of players that can help them right away, then we have something. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we can, you know, we're muddled through with the goalkeepers. You know, we know what they can do and what they can't do.
Right.
But, you know, the target has to be top six, then top two. And as I said earlier in the show, it's a striker and a center back at least is what we need.
I totally agree, Mike. We're in a agreement there. I certainly would like an upgrade at goalkeeper and a left back, but if I had to go with the top two, you've already named it there, my friend. All right, Mike, fantastic show. I'm glad that you contacted me. So, hey, listen, we should do a show. We asked for questions from the Fulham supporters, and we just answered them. And this was fun, my friend. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did, Russ. Yeah, it's I'm not going to have much chance to do many shows now for the next few weeks, but it was. Hopefully, I'll do one before I disappear off for the wedding and honeymoon and everything else. But yeah, we've got a lot of games coming up, and you know, it's going to be a busy period, both, you know, game wise and transfer speculation wise. So
absolutely.
I've enjoyed the show, really did.
Okay, excellent, Mike. Before we go, final thoughts from you, and then I'll share my final thoughts.
Just that if we can go back to the top of the show, if anyone wants to donate to Lee's walk and to Calm, then you can find him on Twitter, usual places, or via some of the tweets you've been doing for him, Russ, some of the retweets. So donate some money. It's all going to go to a good cause. And, you know, hopefully for Saturday, we can avenge the playoffs and get a good result. That's what I'm looking for.
Absolutely, Mike. Very good. I'm glad that you mentioned that. I was going to mention that in my final thoughts. The hashtag is hashtag Fulham to Reading Walk with the letter two in between. So please check that out. If you want to donate to Lee's walk, which I think is a wonderful cause, really creating awareness, go to justgiving.com/fundraising/Fulham to Reading Walk. And like I mentioned earlier in the show, it's currently over 5,500 pounds, and that's very good. All right, my friend. Great show, fantastic show, but it is time to go. For Mike Gregg, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.